Mr. Dan Beans. REU is proud to be part of the economic relief to our customers during this difficult time. All REU customers are receiving $250 in credits on their City of Reading utility accounts. In the near future, commercial customers will have the ability to make monthly payments on their outstanding utility account balance for up to 24 months with no interest. REU and the Chamber of Commerce are proud to work together to assist commercial customers as we move forward. Visit readingchamber.com or cityofreading.org for more information or questions related to this important local effort.
Dr. Farrell in Palisadro is now making dental work more affordable by offering a Dental Discount Savings Plan annual membership. The Dental Discount Savings Plan is simple, straightforward, and includes 20% off all treatment, such as emergency limited exams, restorative work, fillings, crowns, partials, bridges, dentures, and periodontal treatment, a comprehensive exam, oral cancer screening, a TMJ exam, a periodic exam, and two sets of x-rays, along with cleaning and two fluoride treatments. The program is a discount plan, not a dental insurance plan, and is only available at the office of Dr. Farrell. The Dental Discount Savings Plan annual membership provides immediate eligibility. No yearly maximum, no deductibles, no claims to submit, no limitations for pre-existing treatment, and no waiting periods. Children on the plan must be 15 years or younger. Some restrictions apply. Membership prices may vary. Contact Dr. Farrell, located at 9461 Deschutes Road, Suite 2 in Palisadro. Call 547-57 to make an appointment today. That's 547-5757.
It's Wednesday, June 24th, 2020. My name is Guy Benson. Welcome to my show, The Guy Benson Show. Glad that you are here. Thank you for tuning in every day. 3 to 6 p.m. Eastern Time, live, Monday through Friday. GuyBensonShow.com, the website. All the ways to listen live right there. GuyBensonShow.com, plus various avenues to get to our free podcast, growing in popularity. On today's program, Janice Dean, our colleague from Fox News. In fact, we are stacked with Fox talent today on the show. Janice Dean will be here to react to Governor Cuomo on nursing home deaths. His latest excuse, she lost both of her in-laws in New York nursing homes. She will be here. Brett Baier, fresh off of his lengthy interview with John Bolton, the former national security advisor, he will stop by to tell us all about it from an insider perspective, what it was like. And then Brian Kilmeade, our colleague here at Fox News Radio, co-host of Fox and Friends, on the statues coming down sort of indiscriminately at this point. The mob is giving up any attempt to pretend like they care about history or making any meaningful distinctions. It is destruction for the sake of destruction. Brian has strong thoughts, so do I. Looking forward to that conversation. Fox News alert as we begin. Briefly, some stats on coronavirus, a subject to which we will return at least briefly later in the program. Confirmed cases of coronavirus in the U.S., 2,336,615. Deaths now up to 121,117. Big sell-off on Wall Street so far today. The Dow down at this hour 683 points to 25,473. Before I dive into this monologue to open the show, let me just give you a warning. Typically, if you are a regular listener, thank you. If you're a new listener, I think this caveat is important for you to understand. I don't do a lot of angry radio here. There are some hosts, and that's fine, it's their thing, who raise their voice and pound the table almost every day. I don't have that kind of reservoir of anger. It's not the type of radio that I like to do. It's not the way I live my life. I come on the air today, however, in quite an ornery mood. I am angry. I am frustrated. I am disgusted on a number of subjects, including what happened just a few hours ago right here in Washington, D.C. So you're going to get a little bit of angry radio from Guy Benson today, uncharacteristically. I just want to put that out there. So it's been roughly a month since George Floyd was murdered by a since-fired police officer in Minneapolis. We have gone through a wrenching time as a country, mass protests and activism, demands for change and reforms, and, unfortunately, relatedly, rioting and violence in various places. We've covered all of it. It has not been fun. Some of this stuff needs to be hard and unfun. Some of it is just outrageous and unacceptable and indefensible. And we have tried to be nuanced, and fair-minded. One of the outcomes that would be productive after that tragedy, which was really an outrage, would be overdue reforms to police. Not demonizing police and law enforcement, not defunding the police, not going completely out of our minds, not going completely to the race issue every single time and making it all about race, because it's not. I would commend to you Jason Riley's column in the Wall Street Journal on that subject today. But there are some cultural problems within our police forces that play out, and sometimes there is definitely a racial component to it. That's an ugly reality in a country that strives for greatness, and we can do better. And that's why I've supported a number of different ideas, including the bill put forward by Tim Scott, Senator Tim Scott of South Carolina, who's been a guest on this program several times, who's grown up in the face of racial discrimination. He's talked about being pulled over driving while black. He's the only black Republican in the Senate. He was, understandably, given the baton by Mitch McConnell to lead this effort before he even came up with a bill. Now, he'd been working on this stuff for years, and he's tried on a piecemeal basis through the years to get some of these reforms done. But before he put together his legislation in this moment, Kamala Harris, who's busy auditioning for vice president, attacked it as insufficient and not rising to the moment. She hadn't even read it because it didn't exist yet, but already they were on the attack. Then it gets unveiled. Within hours, within minutes, Dick Durbin, the number two Democrat in the Senate, is on the Senate floor calling it, quote, a token effort. And that word certainly has some loaded connotations. Chuck Schumer, who has been demanding action on this front, along with Nancy Pelosi, for weeks, all of a sudden changed his tune. And as of just after noon today, Tim Scott's bill was filibustered by Senate Democrats. Now, this was not final passage. This was not a vote on whether or not this was going to become law. This was a vote today on whether or not the Senate would proceed to debating and amending Tim Scott's bill. Tim Scott's bill includes a lot of bipartisan provisions. Some specific provisions from Nancy Pelosi, for example, and certain Democrats who have talked about them and championed them in the past. It was designed for consensus. And the Democrats still can't articulate exactly what they oppose in it. They're not really against anything in it. They just say it's not good enough. So what have Republicans said? Hey, let's have a vote to get the bill on the floor. We can debate and we can vote on amendments. In fact, Republicans had promised at least 20 amendments. What often happens in the legislative process is, and this happened all the time during Harry Reid's reign, as a Democratic leader, you put a final bill on the floor, you fill the tree, is a very arcane, in-the-weeds term, where basically you block any meaningful amendment from happening, and then you just railroad it to a vote. And sometimes that's politics. In this case, it's sensitive. They're trying to be constructive. This is an important moment in our country. So they said, let's debate and have at least 20 amendment votes. You offer your ideas. If you don't like certain components of the bill, fine. Let's change it. Let's get it closer to what you would like to see. Let's talk about qualified immunity. We could maybe have a vote on that, even though it's not in the bill. Let's discuss how exactly we want the language and the mechanisms on chokeholds to look like. Let's debate that and maybe alter language or at least vote on it. What the Senate Democrats did just a few hours ago is use the filibuster, which, by the way, they're talking about getting rid of next time they're in charge. They used a filibuster to prevent that debate and amendment process from even beginning. Chuck Schumer, on June 1st, so 24 days ago, Chuck Schumer, this is on his website. I'm reading from the Senate Democrats and the Senate Minority Leader's website. Here is a quote on a floor speech from Chuck Schumer on the first day of this month. Quote, at this delicate time, the Senate should lead on these issues rather than aggravate the problem. Leader McConnell should commit to put a law enforcement reform bill on the floor of the Senate before July 4th. End quote. That was June 1st. A demand from Chuck Schumer that Mitch McConnell and the Republicans put a floor vote together and put a bill on the floor for debate on this issue ahead of July 4th. Well, here we are at the end of the month now, getting close to the deadline from Schumer. And today Schumer led a filibuster that blocked the Republican bill from getting to the floor. The cynicism of this is just breathtaking. I shouldn't be surprised. There were hints that this might be coming. I didn't want to believe it and didn't want to jump down their throats and yell about it on this show because perhaps sanity was still going to prevail. Perhaps enough Democrats would join together and say, all right, this is not the moment to play stupid games like this and be just flaming hypocrites. But no. Three Democrats did cross the aisle, but that wasn't good enough. They fell four votes shy of hitting the 60-vote number that they would need to break the filibuster. Let me just underscore, the filibuster. The Senate Democrats' filibuster of police reform. They said, you better have a police reform bill on this floor by July, Republicans. You better. Time is of the essence. This is urgent. This is our moment. And then the Republicans did that, and they said, we are going to block it from coming to the floor. We're not going to debate it. We're not going to amend it. We are not going to go there. And you might be asking yourself, why? And I have some answers to that, and they're not pleasant answers. So Mitch McConnell this morning, I think he by that point knew that this was a fait accompli. The filibuster was coming. He noted that there are new ultimatums from Chuck Schumer. Oh, we need to get behind closed doors and totally redo the bill out of the public eye. We're not going to go through the process of regular order and governance. We need to start over again. Here's McConnell earlier today, cut four.
This last-minute ultimatum is particularly ironic given the weeks of rhetoric from leading Democrats about how very urgent it was that Congress address police reform and racial justice. For weeks, Democratic leader has blustered that the Senate simply had to address this issue before July 4th. Well, that's what the vote this morning is about. Last week, Speaker Pelosi said, I hope there's a compromise to be reached in the Congress because, quote, how many more people have to die from police brutality? So as recently as last week, leading Democrats called it a life or death issue for the Senate to take up this subject this month. Well, here we are.
And there is a filibuster led by Democrats with the Speaker of the House down the hall pouring gasoline on the racial fire and doing so in one of the most outrageous pieces of slanderous, hyperbolic demagoguery that I've ever seen. I know a lot of people in this town are just constantly wringing their hands about that awful, nasty Donald Trump and the awful, nasty things he says and tweets. And guess what? Sometimes I'm one of them. But then Nancy Pelosi comes out there and starts dropping nuclear weapons on Republicans in disgraceful ways, and it gets barely a mention at all. I will play you what she said. She was asked about it finally, and her response, if she wanted to sort of step back from what she had said about Tim Scott and his bill. Spoiler alert, no apologies. Wait till you hear this soundbite. I'm going to break so I have enough time to play it and react. You do not want to go away. My message for Nancy is coming up on the Guy Benson Show.
Energetic, informed, fast-paced. Guy Benson Show.
For 95 years, Saia LTL Freight has hit the road to deliver the goods that keep businesses and communities moving. Now, in this uncertain time, we won't stop going that extra mile. Because at the end of the day, we are all in this together for the long haul. Saia LTL Freight, driving stability, safety, support, and strength. Visit Saia.com. That's SAIA.com.
In uncertain times, you can be certain of this. The Salvation Army is serving those most in need with help and hope. Thanks to your donations, the Salvation Army is helping those affected by COVID-19, those who've lost wages, who have no home to retreat to, who need food, help with utilities, and most of all, hope. To see how you can continue to make a difference, visit givewestwood.org, givewestwood.org.
Trading involves financial risk and is not suitable for all investors.
Stock market have you nervous with all the massive fluctuations? With the impact of coronavirus and the upcoming election, it's virtually impossible to guess what will happen next. With Vantage Point, you don't have to. Text the word money to 411-411 to find out how our technology can forecast market trend changes with up to 87.4% accuracy. That's right, 87.4%. Text the word money to 411-411 to get what you need to stay ahead of market trends and better protect yourself from sudden downturns. Vantage Point's patented technology analyzes huge quantities of global data in seconds. No more guessing when to stay or when to get out. Text money to 411-411, and we'll send you a link to our free demo. Text money to 411-411 so you can better protect your hard-earned capital with Vantage Point. Don't wait. Text the word money to 411-411.
Go to VantagePointSoftware.com for terms, conditions, and privacy policy.
From the Fox News Podcasts Network, The Campaign with Bret Baier.
President Trump and former Vice President Biden will have to offer Americans their best policy ideas for racial inequality, public health, and, of course, the U.S. economy. Founding editor at the Washington Free Beacon, Matthew Cotinetti.
If the public has judged the president's response to be a failure, then he needs to move to a different set of issues as quickly as possible.
Subscribe and listen now by going to FoxNewsPodcast.com. Now, from the historical audio archives of Fox News Talk.
On July 27, 1976, after months of legal wrangling, former Beatle John Lennon finally won residency in the U.S.
Well, it's great to be legal again. I'll tell my baby and I'll thank you, and of course the Immigration Service for finally seeing the light of day, as they say. Good.
You want
thank you.
That
yeah, I'd love to. I should have got a different picture.
What does it mean to you after 5 years of struggling to become a permanent resident to get that green card?
Well, it was a very slow, long struggle, so it's not like, you know, it suddenly ends. I'll come out of it slowly and I realize I can go to visit relatives in Japan, show them the baby, show them in England, you know, save them coming over here. And I can go visit the relatives and come back with safety now with the green card. How do you feel?
Overwhelmed.
Stay tuned to hear more history as it unfolds before your ears. It's the audio archives of Fox News Talk.
This is Fox on Justice. Heated debate over proposals to defund the police as an answer to racist treatment of African Americans.
What's it going
to
feel like when you call 911 and somebody says, well, we're on a 30-minute delay because we don't have the people?
Bob Gualtieri heads up the Florida Sheriff's Association. He says defunding is unrealistic.
There are bad guys out there that commit crime and want to hurt people.
Supporters say moving tax money away from policing can improve things. Howard University law professor Justin Hansford points to the opioid crisis.
They found ways to make it a public health issue and not a policing issue.
Georgetown law professor Christy Lopez says people should listen to the ideas instead of reacting out of fear.
And they think about, what if my house gets broken into, or what if, you know, I'm mugged? I need to be able to call somebody. And so they don't understand that it's a call to begin remaking public safety in a very deliberate way.
With Fox on Justice, Hank Weinblum, Fox News.
There's never been a more critical time. Fox News Media is bringing America together. America is watching news and fearless debate on Fox News Channel. We're invested in you from Wall Street to Main Street to your street with Fox Business. America is listening wherever you are, on radio and podcasts, trending the stories you need anytime you want online. And Fox Nation, streaming the entertainment that celebrates America. Fox News Media, America's news, and much more.
They're going to have to face the realities of police brutality, the realities of the need for justice in policing, and the recognition that there are many, many good people in law enforcement, but not all, and that we have to address those concerns. So when they admit that and have some suggestions that are worthy of consideration, but so far they were trying to get away with murder, actually, the murder of George Floyd.
Back on the Guy Benson Show, Nancy Pelosi to CBS, CBS Radio specifically, talking about Senate Republicans and their bill. She said, quote, they are trying to get away with murder, the murder of George, speaking of George Floyd. This is heinous. This is an absolute slander. Tim Scott is a black man who cares about this issue deeply. He's a member of the United States Senate. He has worked his ass off on this bill. Pelosi may not love all of it. She may think improvements might be needed. She could encourage her fellow Democrats not to filibuster, but to offer amendments and have votes. In fact, just a few days ago, she was saying, let the Senate pass their version. We'll pass our version in the House. They'll go to conference and come up with a compromise. That's what she was saying just recently about this, because we can't let another day go by without reform. She said, people are dying. It's a matter of life and death. Let the Senate pass their bill. We'll come to a compromise. And now, yesterday, when it became clear that the new game plan for the Democrats was obstruct and blame, she pivoted on her high heel to saying that the Republican bill, Tim Scott and his group, with their legislation, are trying to get away with the murder of George Floyd, that their bill is tantamount to complicity in the murder of George Floyd. She was asked on MSNBC earlier today, do you want to maybe clarify or back down from that at all? Cut eight.
When you were speaking yesterday, you said that Republicans are, quote, trying to get away with murder, actually, the murder of George Floyd. Senate Republicans are demanding an apology for that statement. Will you apologize?
Absolutely, positively not.
Let me say something very clearly. And I don't like to go here. I think we have a lot of people who impugn motives constantly in politics and demonize the other side endlessly. And I don't try to do that very often. But Nancy Pelosi is a bad person. The Speaker of the House is a bad, reckless, destructive force in our politics. For her to go where she did, accusing Republicans and Tim Scott really specifically of being complicit in the George Floyd murder because she doesn't completely agree with everything in his bill, even though he included some specific provisions that she herself has championed as a fig leaf, an olive branch to her, trying to signal a sense of camaraderie and cooperation. And she spits right in the eye of Tim Scott and will not apologize for basically using this murder allegation against Republicans over legislation that 2 days ago she was saying, sure, let's pass it and come to a compromise. Then she got the new marching orders from Chuck Schumer, and it was on to the attack. It is a disgraceful thing that she said. She is a bad person. And by the way, if there were some rich, white, privileged Republican woman who had done anything close to a black legislator and his legislation with these types of connotations, there would be demands not just for her resignation, but for an apology down on a knee in front of Tim Scott. But it's Nancy Pelosi, and there are different rules for the Democrats. It makes me sick. I'm not done. It's the Guy Benson Show. Stay tuned.
from the Fox News Podcasts Network. Download and listen to We're Momming Today with Lauren Simonetti.
We were sent workout clothes from a brand, and they wrote a note.
I thought the clothes were beautiful, and they said, what the note said was, this is great for hiding your mum tum. If we didn't have enough pressure as women, we also got told that we have to hide a certain part of our body that we've spent the last better part of a year growing a human.
Subscribe and listen now by going to foxnewspodcasts.com.
This is House Call for Health. Until this year, you may have thought that a super spreader is a great way to seed your lawn. But today, most of us understand that super spreaders are people who are especially infectious and passing the coronavirus on to many others. The concept was first detected in Asia.
The outbreak in Daegu continued its acceleration due to a what we call a super spreader.
And now a preliminary study in Hong Kong has found that super spreaders are doing exactly that. The researchers found that just 20% of people carrying the virus were responsible for 80% of transmissions, while 70% who have tested positive did not infect anyone. Super spreader incidents have been reported in Washington State and New Rochelle, New York. Why are they so infectious? Are they around more people or just unlucky? Researchers don't know. For more on the coronavirus, go to foxnewshealth.com. House Call for Health. I'm Lisa Brady, Fox News.
Did you hear the news? Now you can. With instant updates from Fox News for Amazon Alexa. Breaking stories and top headlines. Daily coronavirus developments. The economy and so much more. Brought to you by Fox News. America's number one cable news network. Plus, setup couldn't be easier because everything's ready to go in the app. Just say,
Alexa, play news from Fox.
In Fox News.
It's the latest when you need it. On demand from Fox News and Amazon Alexa.
This is Fox on Justice. Two lawsuits aimed at government orders responding to the two big crises of 2020. First, the killing of George Floyd and the ongoing protests. Alexandra Graf wanted to take part in demonstrations in Cincinnati, but she claims she didn't out of fear of the police response, including tear gas and rubber bullets. Plus, in the lawsuit she and another woman filed, she claimed she was afraid of being arrested for violating the 10 p.m. curfew imposed by Cincinnati's mayor. The lawsuit claims the curfew violates their right to free speech. Then there's a lawsuit filed over the coronavirus stay-at-home orders in Idaho. A group called Reclaim Idaho claims the shutdown violated their rights because they were unable to gather signatures for a ballot initiative aimed at increasing school funding. The group demands more time beyond the legal deadline for getting supporters and allowing for electronic signatures. No immediate comment from the Idaho state government. With Fox on Justice, Hank Weinblum, Fox News.
Now, from the historical audio archives of Fox News Talk.
Democratic nominee and 42nd President of the United States, Bill Clinton, addressed the Democratic Convention in 1992 at Madison Square Garden in New York City.
Let it be our cause that we give this child a country that is coming together, not coming apart. A country of boundless hopes and endless dreams. A country that once again lifts its people and inspires the world. Let that be our cause, our commitment, and our new covenant. My fellow Americans, I end tonight where it all began for me. I still believe in a place called hope. God bless you, and God bless America.
Stay tuned to hear more history as it unfolds before your ears. It's the audio archives of Fox News Talk.
The Dean's List with Janice Dean.
An awesome grandmother from New Jersey makes today's Dean's List for finding an amazing way to greet her grandkids during this pandemic. Maureen Sweeney decided to put on a colorful unicorn costume to greet her grandkids, Rylan and Lincoln. Hugh Dillon, her son, captured the video of the reunion with Grandma trotting down the street and her grandkids running up with their enthusiastic hellos. Okay. Maureen only lives a few blocks away from her grandkids, but it was the first time they had hugged since March due to the COVID-19 pandemic. The video of the reunion has been viewed thousands of times on Instagram and many users expressing how much they were touched by the reunion. One Instagram user said, "Grandma will always find ways to get things done." Great job, Maureen. You made the Dean's List. Janice Dean, Fox News.
thebensonshow.com.
When you were speaking yesterday, you said that Republicans are, quote, trying to get away with murder, actually, the murder of George Floyd. Senate Republicans are demanding an apology for that statement. Will you apologize?
Absolutely, positively not.
It's the Guy Benson Show. Nancy Pelosi, totally unapologetic for her slanderous smear of Senate Republicans and Tim Scott, a black man, as she pretends that she understands what's better for black people than him. And in fact, his legislation that he toiled on to help fix some of these problems, maybe not entirely. Washington, frankly, can only do so much when it comes to policing, which is largely a local issue. But he put together a package of ideas and reforms that are broadly supported across the aisle. And his reward from the Speaker of the House, after she had said for days, yeah, pass something out of the Senate, we'll pass our own bill, then we'll get together in conference and come up with a compromise and pass that, make it law. We have to do it. People are dying. Then the strategy changed, politics intervened, and Pelosi's accusing Tim Scott and Senate Republicans of having a hand trying to get away with the murder of George Floyd through their legislation. Which is appalling. This is as bad or worse than some of the very worst things Donald Trump has ever said or tweeted. And the entire media establishment melts down. People go crazy. Blue checkmark Twitter is gripped with panic and spasms of outrage. And when Trump has done something stupid and wrong, I say it. And I get crap for it on the right. And then these same people who are just oh so worried about our norms and oh so worried about comportment and the direction of our country, pretending like this is all Trump, they don't give a damn when Nancy Pelosi says something like this. And by the way, she and people in her party have been saying stuff like this for years. We remember what they did to Mitt Romney, who was a freaking choir boy. Donald Trump is not the center of the problem when it comes to our discourse. He is a symptom of that problem. And in fact, the reason he was nominated and elected was because of this. When you get nice, honorable dudes like John McCain and Mitt Romney, and they play within the rules, and they're honorable and good, and people like Nancy Pelosi are out there like savages saying whatever they feel like, a lot of people on the right, whether you think that's too broad of a brush and they're jumping to the wrong conclusions and they're coming to the wrong remedy, a lot of people on the right say, well, guess what? Screw you. If you're going to treat us like we're evil all the time, and this is going from 0 to 100 from Nancy Pelosi in 2 seconds flat, completely for politics, and then she doubles down and no one cares. She's not trending. There's not some big call on for her to resign. Joe Biden has been rung up in his basement, asked for comment. Does he support what Nancy Pelosi said? They're not chasing down members of Congress through the halls of Capitol Hill. What do you think of what Pelosi said? Like they do with every Trump tweet of every Republican. It's how the game goes. So a lot of conservatives said, screw this. We're going to hire a rude, vulgarian bully. And when she says this stuff, he'll maybe tweet about her Botox and how she's a moron, and then maybe that'll get attention. And all of a sudden, we'll be worried about our tone and our rhetoric again because Trump has sinned. But this thing, it's just sort of like, oh, what? What did she say? And it comes in the context of Democrats filibustering a police reform bill that they were demanding be brought to the floor as soon as possible this month. Then Republicans say, yes, here's yes for an answer. And the Democrats say, not only is our response no, our response is hell no, go screw yourself. We're not going to even debate your bill. We're not going to even offer amendments, even though you've offered 20 amendments that you can give us. Not good enough. It's never good enough. Mitch McConnell is not an exciting man, let's be honest. But the man understands the score. He understands what's going on. He called out Pelosi today on the floor and I think said it very succinctly. Listen to cut two.
Are you beginning to see how this game works? 2 weeks ago, it was implied the Senate would have blood on our hands if we didn't take up police reform. Now, Democrats say Senator Scott and 48 other senators have blood on our hands because we are trying to take up police reform. What fascinating times we live in, Madam President. Armies of elites and Twitter mobs stand ready to pounce on any speech they deem problematic, and yet unhinged comments like these get a complete free pass.
Yeah, they had a massive struggle session and purging in the newsroom of the New York Times because they printed an op-ed from a Republican senator advocating a majority-supported opinion with riots in the streets. And that was such a terrible transgression against wokeness that people lost their jobs. They completely overhauled their op-ed process. People were screaming and crying and saying that they feel unsafe. And, oh, no, it's such a terrible thing. And the mob and the woke cancel culture group came in and chopped off some scalps for that one. And then you have the most powerful person in the House of Representatives, Nancy Pelosi, accuse colleagues across the hall of being complicit in murder for putting out a bill that she doesn't actually oppose on substance. And there's no freak out over dangerous rhetoric. Tim Scott was one of the first senators to speak after the Democrats successfully blocked a procedure to get to the bill, to debate it, to mark it up, to amend it. And that's, by the way, one of the other things that we're hearing now from Schumer and these Democrats are saying, oh, well, this hasn't gone through the proper process. This hasn't gone through committee. We need this to go to committee. You were just saying, Chuck, that this has to happen by July 4th because people are dying. You demanded that there was a vote on the floor on a bill by July 4th. You insisted that the process be sped up, and the Republicans did it, and now you're saying, oh, no, hang on, slow down. We can't do this too fast. We're not even going to debate or amend that bill. And then Pelosi's over there cackling in the House, shouting about murder because they made a decision. The Democrats made a decision, and this is where my most cynical self comes out, and I will let Tim Scott explain what's going on here. This was earlier on the Senate floor after the filibuster was mounted in cut nine.
How does that work around the country when instead of getting 70% of what you wanted today and tomorrow and next week, you get zero? And you're going to wait until the election to get more. Okay, well, why wouldn't you take the 80% now, see if you can win the election and add on the other 20%? You've got to be kidding me. Because the who matters. They cannot allow this party to be seen as a party that reaches out to all communities in this nation. And unfortunately, without the kind of objectivity in the media that is necessary to share the message of what's actually happening, no one will ever know.
Every word of that. Every word of that. The Democrats have made a decision, and Tim Scott earlier in the speech said the problem here is not what is being offered in the bill. The problem is who is offering it, namely a black Republican. If the Republican Party can help fix a problem and do things that the American people want and show that they are committed to help improve things and reform, and God forbid, bad, bad orange man actually signs the bill, that takes an issue away from the Democrats. So they have completely abandoned all of their demands of the last few weeks on a dime because all of a sudden they realize we can't share any credit with Republicans. This is too valuable. All this anger out there among black people and a lot of progressive white people, this is too valuable to us right now to waste on solutions. We need to use it and exploit it for the election. So we are going to block Tim Scott's bill from even being discussed, because the little story, the little narrative that Republicans are bad and racist and don't care, and Democrats are good and not racist and do care, that is more valuable to Chuck Schumer and Nancy Pelosi than progress, legislation, or healing, or unity. That is the dirty little secret. And they are counting, as Tim Scott says, on the media to basically play along with a wink and a nod, because the goal number one is power and Democrats winning elections, and all this other stuff really isn't that important to them. Now, that is an extreme statement to make. It feels like I am impugning motives, and I am. I don't like to do that or make a habit of it. In this case, it is hard to reach any other conclusion given the Democrats' own standards and now their actions and now their outrageously offensive rhetoric, especially from Pelosi. Tim Scott sees what's going on. Mitch McConnell called out the game as it's happening in real time, and I'm doing the same. Some days the cynicism is just so off the charts, I can't contain myself. And this is one of those days. There is no excuse whatsoever. And these people wonder why public faith in Washington, D.C., in our political class, is in the toilet. Look no further than today. It's the Guy Benson Show.
You're listening to a new generation of talk. Generation of talk. Guy Benson.
If consistent weekly income, sleeping like a baby during these crazy markets, and only spending 20 minutes a week at your computer is your thing, well, it's time you discovered the Money Press. Hi, it's Preston James. You see, the Money Press uses the new weekly options and market forces already taking place to create your very own growth and income printing press. Check out the real proof from my real brokerage account. Go to paycheckproof.com. That's paycheckproof.com. You'll be able to watch a 7-minute video detailing how it's done. The best part is you can start small and go at your own pace. If making an extra $3,000 to $5,000 per month has prevented you from being able to retire, you definitely need to know about the Money Press. Even if you've been frustrated and unlucky in the past, let me prove it to you now. Go to paycheckproof.com to see the video. That's paycheckproof.com. Now, you won't find any photos of rented private jets or any talk about day trading penny stocks. Just the real proof. See you at paycheckproof.com.
Individual results may vary. There's no guarantee that past performance will be indicative of future results. Invest wisely.
Are you paying too much for term life insurance? There's a tremendous price war among the major term life companies. Rates have dropped dramatically in the past few years. For example, a man age 45 non-tobacco user, $1 million of coverage, $75 per month level rate for the next 10 years. Or a man age 50 non-tobacco can obtain $500,000 of coverage for a monthly premium of only $110 per month, guaranteed not to change for the next 20 years. That's right, level rate guaranteed not to change for the next 20 years. If you're a smoker, we have great rates available for you as well. At Termbusters, we specialize in policies of $500,000 and above. If you're looking for new or replacement term life insurance, call today for a quote at 1-800-569-5440. That's 1-800-569-5440. You're probably paying more than you should. Call Termbusters, 1-800-569-5440, or visit our website at termbusters.net. Remember, 1-800-569-5440. Rates and availability may vary by state. Sample rate quotes based on preferred non-tobacco underwriting. Exam required to qualify.
From the Fox News Podcasts Network. Subscribe and listen to the Proud American Podcast, hosted by Marine Corvette and Fox News contributor Johnny Joey Jones.
An Army Green Beret and former Texas Longhorn and Seattle Seahawk, Nate Boyer.
And that's what we are. We are that locker room, and we have that. So, yeah, we've all fought for something in that room, you know, whether it's the country or whether it's for the man or woman on our left and right on the ball field. But we need people to fight for us as well.
Subscribe and listen now by going to FoxNewsPodcasts.com.
I'm Ashley Dvorkin with a Fox Celebrity Profile with Kip Moore, who is out with Wild World, his fourth studio album. Moore has been playing some music on social media during the pandemic, but he says he's really looking forward to returning to live performances.
I did it more because I knew that it was maybe helpful for people that were that are kind of struggling mentally, and it kind of helped a little escape.
Opening up through songwriting was also a therapeutic process, including with one song in particular, which is very personal to him.
Songs like Paying Hard, you know, my dad passed 9 years ago, and I've never been able to actually tap in to write a song about him that didn't feel contrived. I felt like I was always forcing that hand. And then it finally came out in a very organic way, and I've had a heavy weight about the way that things went down. That's probably the only song I've ever written that I emotionally couldn't get through when it came time to sing it in the vocal room. You know, I eventually did, but that was a tough process to write and to sing, but it was also a little bit of healing in there.
Ashley Dvorkin, Fox News.
Did you hear the news? Now you can, with instant updates from Fox News for Amazon Alexa. Breaking stories and top headlines, daily coronavirus developments, the economy, and so much more. Brought to you by Fox News, America's number one cable news network. Plus, setup couldn't be easier, because everything's ready to go in the app. Just say,
Alexa, play news from Fox.
In Fox News.
It's the latest, when you need it, on demand, from Fox News and Amazon Alexa.
We continue here on the Guy Benson Show on a very busy Wednesday. In fact, Fox News alert, as we are just keeping an eye right now on the White House Rose Garden, President Trump holding a joint press conference with the president of Poland. If there's any significant news coming out of that, we will monitor and bring it to you here on the program. For now, though, I'm very pleased to welcome back to the show, second time in 2 weeks, Janice Dean, senior meteorologist here at Fox News, New York Times best-selling author. Her book is Mostly Sunny, How I Learned to Keep Smiling Through the Rainiest Days. And, Janice, the reason I wanted to bring you back on the show, and thanks for being here, by the way, thank you. The reason I wanted to bring you back so soon was you have a very personal stake in New York State's major failure on nursing homes. You lost your father-in-law and your mother-in-law. And Governor Cuomo, who has been a Democratic media darling for a long time, is coming under some scrutiny for it. Recently, he's been asked about the nursing home policy a few times, and it seems like he's landed on a new talking point. We addressed it at length on this show yesterday. I want to play you cut 43 and then get your reaction. Here is Cuomo with NBC yesterday.
Was that order a mistake? I know that guidance has since been changed.
No, we followed federal guidance on the nursing homes. So what we did here in New York is nothing different than what the federal government put out as guidance for every state. Yes, people died in nursing homes, Savannah. No, look, if you look at how many people died in nursing homes in New York compared to other states, we actually have a lower percentage of people who died in nursing homes. But we had more people die than any other state. That's a fact. The reason that happened was because we had the virus coming from Europe when the federal government told us the virus was coming from China. And we had no screening on people coming from Europe. Now, the federal government just missed that. But yes, more people died in nursing homes in New York, but more people died in nursing homes in every state. It attacked the older people in congregate settings, and those were nursing homes.
So, Janice, three arguments. Number one, everyone did this. It was what the Fed said to do. Number two, it's really not that bad percentage-wise. We've done well percentage-wise of old people dying in New York. And number three, it's because the federal government and nasty Trump didn't tell us that it was coming from Europe as opposed to China. Your thoughts?
He can't settle on an answer, and that's why I like that he's getting the question, Guy, because it tells you he doesn't know how to answer that question. Every day it's different. Actually, the interview that he did after the Savannah Guthrie interview, he blamed the nursing home workers.
Oh.
So he's also, yeah, that's very recent. So what is the publication that does the Pinocchios?
That's the Washington Post.
I wish they would do a Cuomo edition of that, because he he's rambling. He doesn't quite know where to land, and that just tells me guilty, guilty, guilty.
Well, it's because there's no excuse, right? I mean, so you have CMS came out and said it's not true what he said about the federal guidance. The second thing about the percentages, and like, you know, as a percentage of people, it wasn't quite as bad. I went on at length yesterday explaining how they've actually cooked the books and manipulated the stats.
Yeah.
So their fractions that they're using in this case to try to make themselves look better, it's based on manipulated statistics. They stopped counting deaths the same way in nursing homes. They tried to scrub stuff off the internet. All the things people are accusing Florida of doing wrongly, New York has actually done in this case. And then this mumbo jumbo, Janice, about, well, Trump said it was coming from China and not Europe. What the hell does that have to do with forcing COVID-positive people into homes filled with old people? It is nothing.
It's incredible. He has never – I don't think he's ever felt more uncomfortable in his lengthy career as a politician, truly. And, again, I am glad that he's finally getting the question, because I think for so long – he sailed through those interviews with the love gov and you're single now and, you know, all of the questions they could ask him without going into the nursing home situation. I've actually
Janice, it's like they were trying to get a date with the guy as opposed to answers from him.
Yes. Yes, absolutely. I'm glad that Savannah asked him the question and Stephanie Ruhle asked him the question on MSNBC. And I've dared CNN to do the same. I don't know that they will. I think the only person I think that might get away with asking him is Jake Tapper. We'll see if that ever happens.
And I would love a follow-up, too, because it's the thing is they ask him the question. Now he's got this rambling, completely nonsensical answer that is, frankly, a lie. It's just a dishonest jumble of words. One or two follow-up questions would be nice. Well, what do you mean by that? Please explain that. I don't think he can.
Exactly. So that's my next step to all of the so-called journalists out there. When you've got Cuomo and you ask him the question, go back and ask him how he gets his answers, because they're wrong.
Mm-hmm.
And those numbers, by the way, in New York State, some estimates are 12,000 plus of seniors. We won't, as you mentioned, my mother-in-law died of COVID in her, she got COVID in her assisted living residence, but because she went to the hospital, it doesn't count because New York is actually the only state that won't count COVID patients.
And they changed that in May when they realized they had a problem. So that's Janice Dean, a meteorologist, explaining to journalists how to ask follow-up questions, which is a sorry state of affairs. But, Janice, I'm glad you did on The Guy Benson Show.
Paid for by Lose Debts. Did you know that the average American household owes over $16,000 in credit card debt? These credit card companies try to lure you in with low starting rates or tons of airline points just to jack up the interest rates after a few months. Before you know it, you're in over your head and struggling to make the minimum payments. It's important to know you're not alone, and Lose Debts has helped thousands of good people just like you avoid the expensive and lengthy bankruptcy process. With our debt reset program, your debt can be reduced by more than half, and all future interest will be eliminated, making you debt-free in as little as 24 months. This is not a loan, and unlike other companies, we do not charge upfront fees or out-of-pocket expenses. Best of all, we provide a 100% money-back guarantee. What are you waiting for? Speak to our agents today at 800-340-3365. That's 800-340-3365. Quit losing sleep over your debt payments. Call us for help. 800-340-3365. Again, 800-340-3365.
This is Fox News Talk.
Headline Rewind.
1972.
John Dean.
I guess I'd have to say that it was probably the opening act of one of America's great tragedies.
Elvis had a hard time dealing with mother and the little girl that I was to him. To show any kind of vulnerability and security to me was not macho. It was not something that he felt I should see. So our communication was horrible.
We mourn our Israel friends, victims of this brutal assault. The Olympic flag and the flags of all the world fly at half-mast. The greater and the more important the Olympic Games become, the more they are open to commercial, political, and now criminal pressures.
News as it happens. News as it happens.
This is Fox News Talk.
The news from Town Hall is brought to you on KCNR Shasta Reading by Shasta Regional Medical Center. Your life, your health, your choice. Shasta Regional Medical Center.